this morning. Look with me in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9. We sang a few moments ago, what child is this? Throughout history, people have tried to answer that question. They have wrestled with the answer to that question. They have struggled with the answer. Some have even resisted the answer to that question. If we were to go out onto the streets of Concord today and ask that question, we would get a multitude of answers. We would get those who said that child was a prophet. We would get those who would say that child was a savior. We would get those who would say that child was a good teacher. We would get those who would say that child was just a man, just a good man. We would no doubt even, unfortunately, in the day we live, get some who would say, I don't know, who wouldn't be able to answer the question, what child is this? We don't live in a, unfortunately, no matter what we believe, we don't live in a Christian culture anymore. And many people, if we were to go out and ask, what child is this? What child is that in that manger? What child is that in the nativity scene? We would get a, I don't know. I can't answer that. I don't know who he is. They may be able to say, well, his name, I believe, was Jesus, but to explain anything else would be almost impossible, I'm afraid, for many in our culture, in our world today. So what child is this? And the most important question we'll answer ourselves is, what child is that? How we answer that question, what child is this? And there's a lot of ways we could answer that question, and a lot of different ways we could look at. We could look at what the world says about this child. We could look at what others say about this child. We could look at what the child said about himself. Seven different times in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. Seven different times he states who he is in the Gospel of John, in the book of Revelation. He declares, I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the root of Jesse. And so he says himself who he is. We can look in the Gospels and see that on one occasion he asked his followers, but the most important question again, but who do you say that I am? And we could look at their declaration. We could look at how he is described in those settings and how the world or how his followers have described him. Another place we can look is to look and see how the Old Testament describes him, how he is described by the prophets, those who would announce his coming. And that's where I want us to look this morning, is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, at how one who prophesied of his coming, who announced that he would be born, how Isaiah described him and declared who this child is. And when we look at that, I think what makes this statement important is that we can look at Isaiah's declaration. Isaiah says that unto us a child is born, and he will be a wonderful counselor, mighty Father, everlasting God, and the Prince of Peace. And we can look at that statement and we can ask ourselves and say, well, did he live up to the billing? Did he make it? What was that really who he ended up being? Was he did he truly end up being that that Messiah? Did he end up living up to these four names that that Isaiah assigns to it? And so we can look then at the Gospels. We can look at our own experience and say, is that who this child actually is? Is that who this child became? And look at that and answer this question, what child is this? The world, every day, 400,000, UNICEF tells us almost 400,000 children are born a day. I forgot how many a minute that is, but that's a bunch. 400,000 a day come into this world. The Population Research Bureau estimates back in 2011, so add that 400,000 a day in the last 7 years, the Population Research Bureau, and I have to look at this number to get it right because it's a bigger number than I'm used to dealing with, estimate that in the history of the world, 107,602,707,791 people have been born on this earth. What makes this child stand out? What is it about this child? Think for a moment about the magnitude of that statement. That we're here this morning and we're singing. We're talking about, we're here in December celebrating the birth of a child from 2,000 years ago. Now, think for a moment about how many names in history you really remember. You know, there are a few names that perhaps all of us recall, Hitler, Stalin, there's a few names, Kennedy, but in all honesty, go back and think back. How many historical names do all of us remember? Now, some of us may begin to think, well, Moses, Noah, Paul, Peter, but think about it. Why do you know who those names are? You know about those names because of Jesus. Think about the magnitude of the fact that this child, out of all those 107 billion that have ever been born, is one that we talk about. Why? What child is this? And Isaiah answers that question in this statement when he gives us those four compound names. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Let's talk about those four names for just a moment and consider how they describe this child, how they put his life, his ministry, excuse me, how they put everything about Jesus Christ into context in these four names that that describe Jesus Christ. That first name, Wonderful Counselor. And I know that when we look at it, you may want to separate those and make wonderful and counselor two different things. But the word wonderful goes with the word counselor. It is a the adjective that describes counselor. What kind of counselor? A wonderful counselor. I don't know, but I think maybe most of you can identify. Anybody in here ever had any kind of counsel? I don't mean professional counseling, but counsel. Somebody has given you counsel. Somebody has given you advice or wisdom. Yeah? Everybody's nodding their head. Anybody ever give you bad counsel? How come you nod your head more seriously at bad counsel than just counsel in general? In other words, you can get all kinds of counsel. There's good counsel, there's bad counsel, but Isaiah says this child will be a wonderful counselor. And you and I today, when Isaiah was talking about that, when he wrote that, I don't know how much Isaiah could wrap his mind around it. I'm not even sure that the disciples who walked with Jesus could really wrap their minds around this idea of wonderful counselor. You know, if you think about it, there were a time or two in the ministry of Christ that his disciples, they weren't so sure he was giving wonderful counsel. If you remember on one occasion, he said, let's go to back to Bethany. And the disciples, if you remember, Thomas said, I don't know about that, Lord. You know, the last time we were there, they tried to kill us. You know, I'm not sure about that. There's several times that that they're not exactly convinced that maybe Jesus, are you thinking clearly here what you're asking us to do? But you and I today, You and I have the benefit of history. We have the benefit of Scripture. We have the benefit of our experience of salvation to know that there is no counsel above the wisdom of Jesus Christ. We have the benefit of the Word of God that guides us and directs us. And the Bible describes itself as being good in all areas of teaching and reproach and discipline. And correcting. We have the benefit of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. One of the things about a counselor, whether you've been to a counselor or not, you know this to be true. If you go to a professional counselor, you generally, you go in and you make an appointment. First of all, there's a problem. You have to make an appointment whenever their schedule and your schedule will allow and coordinate. So immediately you've got a problem. You may not be able to get in when you need the counseling. When you go to see the counselor is going to give you probably an hour. It's probably about typical for a counseling appointment, and you're going to go in and you're going to get your hour done. And when you get your hour done, you're going to get up and you're going to go out and you're going to pay. There you go. You're going to pay. I don't know why Pansy was the one that thought of paying first, but you're going to pay. You've got to make an appointment. You're going to get an hour. You've got to pay. And then what's going to happen? After you pay, what happens? Well, you make another appointment. You've got to go back. Then what happens? Yeah. What do you do after you pay and you make your next appointment? You do what? You leave. Does the counselor go with you? Probably not. You know, unless maybe you're married to the counselor, but then I'm not sure that that's not a conflict of interest when they're counseling you. So that counselor, when you pay them, you have to make an appointment with them that fits their schedule. You only get an hour. You have to go back. You have to pay them. And then you leave them behind. Well, let's compare that to the wonderful counselor. You ever made an appointment with Jesus? Or have you ever just in the middle of the night said, "Hey, Lord, I need to talk"? Yeah. One of the other things I've noticed about the counselor is most counselors, I don't think, call you and say, "Hey, Archie, I've been watching you, bud." They might ought to. But, they don't call up and say, "Archie, you need to come on down for an appointment. Now, I got some things we need to talk about." The wonderful counselor that is described in Scripture, the Bible says he dwells within us. And there's times when I don't even know I need counseling. There's times when I don't even realize there's an issue and there's a problem. What child is this? This child is the wonderful counselor that comes along and can answer all our needs and all our problems. You know, there are counselors who, you ever had anybody, and y'all know my opinion of this, people will look at you and say, "Oh, I know just how you feel." No, you don't. You know how you felt when you were in it, but you don't know how I feel. Jesus Christ, on the other hand, the Bible tells us what about Him? It says that He was tempted in all manners like us. He knows exactly how we feel. He knows our innermost thoughts. He knows, you know what the Bible makes pretty clear, is God knows more about how I feel than I know how I feel. He has a better understanding of me, that He knows me better than I know me. And so Isaiah says, what child is this? This child, why are we still talking about one out of 107 billion children that have ever walked this earth? Why are we still celebrating and talking about this one? Because this one is a wonderful counselor, Isaiah says. And when we look, we know that through time, we know through experience that Isaiah was correct, that he has proven himself time and time again. There are things that that probably, if you chose to, we could go around this room this morning and we could go around and have people talk and give their testimony of things they've talked to the Lord about that they've never talked to another human soul about, that they've never shared with anyone, and yet God was there, Christ was there to listen, to hear every word, to hear every complaint, to see every tear, and never walk away and never give bad counsel. Never give bad counsel. The wonderful Counselor, he's described as. And so what child is this? Isaiah says he is the wonderful counselor. And you and I today have such a better understanding of that than Isaiah ever imagined in his life. But not only does he say he is the counselor, but he says he is the conqueror. What child is this? He is the mighty God, he says. The mighty God. When we look in this statement, and he makes that statement, the mighty God. I love that these are compound names. He doesn't just say that he's the counselor. Again, he could be a bad counselor. He doesn't just say he's God. He says he's the mighty God. Well, you know, what a wonderful combination if you think about those two being together. A wonderful counselor, but a mighty God. It's one thing to have a good counselor. And all of us, again, whether professional or otherwise, need someone in our lives, someone in our circle who can give us good advice. We all need someone who is the kind of friend, the kind of Christian that will come to us and say, listen, I know you didn't ask, but here's some things I see in love. And we all need a counselor. But isn't it great that this child is not only a wonderful counselor, but this child is the mighty God. That this child is the sustainer, the creator. He is the conqueror, he says, of all. He'll do things that no one else could conceivably do. That he will care. Here's the beauty of this counselor. This counselor that doesn't at the end of the hour say, well, that's all we can do today. Come back next week. Yeah. This counselor is the mighty God who says what? Cast your cares, your burdens on me. This counselor is also the mighty God that says, I'll help you carry the burden that you need counseling for. I'll help you carry the burden. I'll help you through the problem. I'll help you through the circumstance. I am the mighty God. I am the all-knowing, all-present God. Not just a counselor. See, counselors, world's counselors are limited by one big thing. I'm not much of a counselor. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the old video. It's on the internet. It's most of you, a lot of you here are old enough to remember the old Bob Newhart show. And Bob Newhart played a counselor on that show. In the old video, if you hadn't seen it, go and or get somebody to help you find it. Just search on the internet, Bob Newhart, stop it. And it is, not right now, but it's hilarious. He comes in and the person begins to talk to him about their problem. He says, stop it. And they tell him, stop it. Yeah, and everything they tell him, you go, stop it. Stop it. Yeah, that's kind of, honestly, that's kind of sometimes the way I feel in trying to counsel. Well, you know, again, I've told you one of the first jokes I ever remember was the guy goes to the doctor and says, Doc, it hurts when I do that. Well, don't do that. You know, that's easy enough. You know, I got great marriage counseling for you guys. If what you're doing makes her mad, stop it. You know, happy wife, happy life. Stop it. You know, that's great counsel. You know, but here's one of the things in trying to counsel with people over the years, and if you even whether you're professional or just or in ministry or just in talking to people, you ever been talking to someone and you're trying to give them advice, but you feel like they're not telling you the whole story? Yeah, not telling you the whole story. Yeah, I don't know. Evidently, people think that. I know I'm not real bright, but I'm not completely crazy either. You know, man will come in and start telling me how bad his wife is. I'm like, well, I've met her. She ain't no saint, but I've met you too. Yeah. Let's get the whole story. One of the beauties of the wonderful counselor is also the mighty God. He knows what the truth is. He knows the burden. He knows the problem. What child is this? Isaiah says this child is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the sustainer, the creator, omniscient, omnipresent, that there is nothing that happens in our life that He doesn't know. There's nowhere we go that He doesn't go. That there is no burden, no problem so big that our counselor is not the mighty God that can also deal with it. Why does this child stand out of 107 billion? Why do we still sing about Him? Why do we still celebrate His birth? Why do we still worship Him? Because He's a wonderful counselor and a mighty God. That's what Isaiah scribed. And we look, and Isaiah wrote that some 4,000 years ago. And here in 2017, we look at that, and we can see that is still a true statement, that it's been proven to be true, that the mighty God has the power, the ability to reach down and to rescue people from the lowest points of their life. Wonderful Counselor, mighty God. He is the Counselor. He is the Conqueror. But not only that, we see that He is the Compassionate. Look what we see here. We see the compassion when He says He is the Wonderful Counselor, the mighty God. Then He says this. He says He's the Everlasting Father. Now, some translations, if you've got a newer translation, say the Eternal Father. And it's easy to get caught up in the eternal, the everlasting aspect of Jesus Christ. And rightfully so. It's important. But the emphasis here, I believe, is really on the fact of what is eternal. What is everlasting? Yes, He's eternal. Yes, He's everlasting. But what is eternal? What is everlasting? Him as Father. The emphasis here, I believe, is on the compassion of the child. Well, what child is this? This child is compassion embodied. This child is love in the flesh. One of the hardest concepts for man, I think, to wrap our heads around about God is not that God loves, but that God is love. That the moment God ceases to love is the moment that He is no longer God. You can't take love away from God and Him still be God. The everlasting Father, Isaiah says, he says, The pity that a father would have on his child, the emphasis here is on the fact that this child would love his people. It's shown by the simple fact that there we go. There we go. How do we know He's a loving, everlasting Father? Because He came to earth for us. One of the greatest stories that I've ever heard, I think, that illustrate this, and I don't have anywhere near I don't know if you call this guts or craziness to try this illustration, but I heard the story of a pastor who one Sunday wanted to illustrate the role of a father, and so he put bear traps on the platform, and he took a little boy and put a little boy over here. And then he got the little boy's father and brought him over here. And said, all right, now, then he blindfolded the little boy and said, now, get the little boy to your side of the stage. And I don't know how much this was planned. I don't know. I just know the story goes that the father said, all right, son, listen closely. Take two steps forward. All right, take one step to the right. And the little boy struggles a little bit. He's not sure. And then it was like a light bulb went on in the father's head. And the father goes across and he navigates through all the bear traps. He goes over and he takes the little boy by the hand. And he walks him back through and navigates and brings him to the other side. That's a father, folks. That's a compassionate, loving father. And that's a perfect example of who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ didn't say, hey, heaven's up here. Come on up. Heaven's up here. Love to have you. The Bible says that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He didn't stand and say, good luck navigating the traps of this world. He's a loving Father. What made this child, what makes this child stand out? His compassion. That even hanging on the cross, He was busy about the Father's work. Even on hanging on the cross in agony, in murderous agony, looked down and said to John, take care of my mother. Looked to the one beside of him and said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Not about himself. Not about his own position. Not about his own glory. But about compassion. About compassion. Demonstrating the very love that He has for each of us. What child is this? This is a child that loved you with a selfless, sacrificial, unending love. That's what child this is. Why do we still talk about this? Think about it. The people who really stand out. I mentioned a while ago, what names do we remember? What names from history do we remember? It's kind of odd if you think about it. We remember the names of those who demonstrated tremendous hate. We remember Hitler. We remember Stalin. We remember many of the names we remember from history are those who demonstrated hate and murder. Manson, those are the names, those who demonstrated hate. The other names we remember are those who demonstrated love. Now, I want you to think for a moment, which list is longer? Unfortunately, it's probably the list of hate. It's the Mansons. It's the Hitlers, the Stalins. There's been a lot of those in history. There's only been one Jesus. There's only been one that ever demonstrated that kind of love, that said, I love them so much, I'll die for them. Only one. The everlasting Father who said, I have pity on my children. Who said, I will go where they can't go. They don't have to try to navigate the bear traps of life. I'll go for them. I'll walk with them. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. For a rod and a staff to comfort someone, the shepherd has to be there. It's the only way it works. It's the only way it works is for the shepherd to be there. He is the counselor. He is the conqueror. He is the compassion. And finally, I want you to notice this last statement. The prince of peace. He is the completion. What makes this child out of 107 billion one we still talk about? What makes him stand out? He's a wonderful counselor. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. We talked about peace a little bit last week. And it's still true. It's probably ratcheted up even more in 7 days. We live in a time where we don't know much about peace. We don't know much about world peace. There's somebody always rattling their sabers, threatening to blow up something. There's terrorism. There's racial division. There's division in the home where parents and children, that there's division between brothers and sisters. We just don't live in a time where we look around and see a great deal of peace. And yet Isaiah says that this child will be the Prince of Peace. How do we justify what we see in a mean and hurtful, hurting world with what Scripture says? Isaiah says this child will be the Prince of Peace. Paul says he gives a peace that passes all understanding. And yet we look around, and every day there's something new about murder and death and crime and war and rumors of war. How do we justify that? What child is this? He is the Prince of Peace. He is the completion. The word that is used there when he says he is the Prince of Peace says that he will govern in peace. The idea of peace doesn't mean at this point world peace or peace in Korea or peace in Vietnam or peace in our local neighborhoods. It means peace right here. It means a peace that the world can't see and the world can't understand. It means he came to give peace with God. It means he came to give us a peace that allows us to face the trials, the tribulations, the troubles of this world without fear. While we have him in our life, we're reconciled to God. And the Bible uses this fancy word called enmity, that there's enmity between man and God. Jesus Christ came. That child came to eliminate that and to give us the privilege, as the Bible says, of being able to be called the friends of God, the child of God, the son of God, to go from being the enemy to being the friend of God. What child is this? This child is truly the Wonderful Counselor. He's truly the Mighty God. He's truly the everlasting Father who pities and cares for His children. He's truly the Prince of Peace, the only real source of peace. And as beautiful and as wonderful, I believe, as those four names are, and unfortunately my ability to describe them is limited. I don't even feel like I can scratch the surface of these four names. There's three words that mean so much more. There's three words that you've got to see in this verse. The first three words, unto us is born. For unto us. For unto us. How many of you got your Christmas tree up? Got presents under them yet? No presents? Oh, come on, that's sad. No presents? Be like at our house. We don't have a tree. Got presents, no tree. You ever notice something about Christmas presents? They, I think almost always, have a little tag on them. Little tag says what? To and from. That's an important tag. That's an important tag. Now, you take that gift and you wrap it real pretty and you put that to and from tag on there. And then something interesting happens. You take that gift and you place it under the tree. And you leave it there. What has to happen? Whoever's name is in that two block has to do what? I don't know if you've ever seen this. A lot of times with Christmas around here, folks will bring Christmas presents in for other people. Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but many times, the next Christmas, they're still laying out here on the piano. Y'all ever seen that? What happened? Right there on the package, it'll say, to Ryan England. Right there on the package. But it's still laying there. Why is it still laying there? Because Ryan never picked up the package and he opened it, correct? Yeah. Now, it might be gone because Kevin picked it up and opened it, but generally speaking, if it's still laying there, it's because it says to Ryan and Ryan never picked it up and opened it. You see what Isaiah says? He says, to us, a Wonderful Counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, and a Prince of Peace. But there is no counselor. There is no Father. There is no compassion. There is no counsel. There is no completion unless we take the package. Unless we accept this child. What child is this? See, we saw it in the original story. Herod, the religious. Did Jesus Christ come to earth for Herod? Absolutely. Did he come for the religious leaders of Jerusalem? Absolutely. Did they accept him? No. Did he want to be the counselor for Herod? Sure. Did he want to be the everlasting father to Herod? Sure. Did he want to be the mighty God to the religious leaders? Did he want to be the Prince of Peace to even Judas? Absolutely. The package is there. The counseling, the everlasting Father, it's right there. Unto us, a child is born. Will we take the package, or will we leave it under the tree? I want to ask you to bow your head this morning. Most of the people in this room this morning would say, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I know Him personally. He is my Savior. Unfortunately, right now in your life, you don't know peace. Unfortunately, right now in your life, you're going through a battle, you're going through a struggle. You don't know the answer. You don't know which way you're going to go. You need counsel. You need the love of a father. This morning, can I encourage you to come and to kneel at this altar and say, Lord, here's what I'm going through. Here's the battle. I know that child came to be my counselor, my peace, my God, my peace. Lord, this morning I just want to take that, and as a follower of Jesus Christ, I need some peace this Christmas season. Maybe you need to come this morning and do something else you do with all gifts. We say thank you. Maybe this morning you know, you've experienced it. God's walked with you. He's been with you through thick and thin. He's been with you through your battles, through your struggles. He's been your Prince of Peace. He's been your counselor. You need to come this morning and kneel and say, Father, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for that child that came in that manger. But more importantly, you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ personally. You don't know Him as your Savior. You don't know Him as your Lord. You don't know peace. Jesus Christ came in a manger and died on a cross just for you. The question this morning is, will you accept the gift? You're here today and you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior. You need to come. Let us show you from God's Word how you can be saved today.